Well, good evening. I'd like to talk a little bit about grace tonight. But before, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for the love of God. We're thankful for your grace, Lord God. Father, that we're here yet today, Lord God, with another breath. We're thankful for the life that you've given us, Lord Jesus. I just pray, Father, that you'd be with my tongue, Lord God, that I speak the things that you'd have for us this evening, Lord God, to hear. That you'd touch every heart here, Lord God. And Father, just may our minds be focused on you. Thank you for your grace now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace is a pretty big topic, so we won't cover it all tonight. But I'd like to look at a few things that the Bible speaks about grace. Because the world likes to talk about grace. We like to talk about grace. But how does God talk about grace? And like I said, it's a big, big subject. There's a lot in the Word of God that talks about it, so we're not going to cover it all. But I'd like to start in Romans 5, verse 1. Let's back up into Romans 4, verse 25. It says, speaking of Jesus, it says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So here's talking about Christ being delivered for our offenses. How he's raised again for our justification is talking about this way we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Talks about in the hope of the glory of God. At the end of Romans 5 and verse 21, it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's talking about, in at the end of Romans 6, it talks about the wages of sin being death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It says, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. And so here we're going to see, as the scriptures emphasize, that grace that comes from God also gives you, empowers you. Grace, it says, reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's but then Paul comes in and he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So the question comes in and says, well, if sin reigns unto death, and grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, it says, well, can we sin that grace may abound? Paul says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's talking about a new life in Jesus Christ. When God comes and gives grace, He delivers you from sin as well, but delivers you from the death that we were indebted to, the debt that we owed. Christ came and died for us. In Romans 6, 14 through 18, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So here Paul continues on to say, it shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then the question goes again, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? So it talks about here that sin shall not have dominion over you. The question goes, well, can I sin that grace may abound? It says, no, God forbid. It says, you're the servants to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. In Galatians, it talks about those that had fallen from grace. They weren't following the gospel. They were going back under the law of Judaism. And they had fallen from grace. But here we have sin reigning unto death. And then it has, or obedience unto righteousness. Are you the servant to Jesus Christ today? Are you servant of righteousness, or are you servant of sin today? If you're the servant of righteousness, you're under grace. You're under the grace of God, because separate from the grace of God, we have no way of standing before a holy God. Separate from the power of Jesus Christ in our life, there's no peace between us and God. But because of the blood shed on Calvary, it makes a way through grace, through Jesus Christ, that we could have a life in Him. It says here in verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made freed from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness." So here I just wanted to get a little bit of the context of it. It's talking about this grace, but it's also talking about becoming a servant of righteousness. It's not this, okay, we're under grace and so therefore just commit sin. We're under grace, so therefore just do what we want. No, it's that grace that comes, and later on it'll talk about what grace teaches us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Through 8. "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you came behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here again, this grace is imparting gifts. It's talking about how them being enriched by Him in all utterance and knowledge. But it also talks about who shall confirm you in the end. This is Christ Jesus. In the day when He comes, He says that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, that takes the grace of God to take a vile human being and present him one day faultless before Jesus Christ, before the presence of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5:9-11. I must have wrote the wrong. Reference down, so we'll skip that. 2 Corinthians 12:9. This was talking about when Paul had this thorn in the flesh. In verse 8 it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now he's looking at this and he says, God told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So here it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." So as we're going on in life, maybe we're going on in a struggle, God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So it talks about here a strength that comes from God. His grace being sufficient, and a strength that also comes from Him that's perfect in our weakness. It says, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." So there was a resting in the power of Christ here. Galatians 2:20-21. Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." It says here in verse 21, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Galatians is talking about being freed from the law. Galatians is talking about being under grace, under Christ Jesus. But it also talks about being in Christ. Paul being crucified with Christ. He says, Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there again, he says, if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if we are trying to earn our own righteousness, earn our own merit through the law or through our own works, it says Christ would be dead in vain. We'd be frustrating the grace of God. But Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So he's talking about here before being dead with Christ, risen with Christ, walking a new life, yet not him, but Christ that lives in him. And the fruit of the Spirit then pours out of his life, as he'll say later on in Galatians. Ephesians 1, 6 through 7. It's talking about God adopting us by Jesus Christ unto himself. But in verse 6 it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So here's talking about Christ choosing us, and us being adopted by him, to the praise of his glory. Being redeemed through the blood and forgiveness, having the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So tonight I want to talk a bit about the grace of God and how it's forgiven mankind and how God comes to cleanse us and separate us unto himself, to pardon our iniquities. But I also want to continue on taking a look at this grace is something more than just forgiveness that God imparts to us. This grace is something that also delivers us and sets us aside and makes us children of the Heavenly Father, places us in Christ, just like forgiveness. But it also goes on further in empowerment, because Paul talks about in many places and other disciples as far as being given gifts according to the measure of the grace that God has given you. And so here in, let's see, we're in Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So here is the first look in verse 4, is talking about God, who is rich in mercy and his great love to wherewith he loved us. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he came and died on the cross for us while we were yet sinners. When Christ shed his blood for you and I, he did it while we were yet sinners. He came, and that's the grace of God. But then he puts us in Christ, raises us and makes us to seat with him in Christ in heavenly places, so that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace toward us through Jesus Christ. Here again is through Jesus Christ. When you receive the grace of God, he places you in Christ. So when you're in Christ, you no longer are living your life for yourself. You're living the life for Christ Jesus. No longer are you living a life of sin, because remember, sin bringeth forth death. But obedience unto righteousness brings forth life. And that's found in Jesus Christ. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's no works of righteousness that you can perform. There's no work that you can do to make yourself right with God. It's by grace, and it's by the gift of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It says, for we are his workmanship. So then we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So this is what he does with us through the grace of God, through the power of God. And there's so many other words that they use in this passage that we can look, but we're looking at grace. And it says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So he's given us an ability through grace, the things that we could not live up to in our own flesh, the things that we could not obtain, the righteousness of the law, which is found in Jesus Christ. We could not do that on our own. Through grace, he places us in Christ and gives us an ability to walk with him by Jesus Christ. It's not this mentality of here where Paul addressed that in Romans 6 to where, no, we shall not sin. God forbid. Because the excuse often comes, well, grace will cover, we thank God for grace, and then we continue on living our life of sin. This is not the grace of the Bible. This is not the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ forgives the things of the past. But then it brings us on into a life of Jesus Christ. A life filled with His Spirit. A life filled with righteousness that we couldn't perform, that we couldn't do. But in Jesus Christ, He's made a way. Colossians 1, verse 5. Verse 5 and 6. It says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God. So here I just wanted to focus on here, talking about the grace of God, but it talks about how it's bringing forth fruit. It says, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. I think of in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is in you, the flesh is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the Spirit of God then brings forth fruit in your life. And separate from the grace of God, we would not be placed in Christ. So here again, the grace is bringing forth fruit in the day you knew of it. I remember trying to live a life of righteousness. I remember trying to live a life for God. Trying to live a life in obedience to Him and keep falling short. Keep coming to the place where, you know what? I felt I could do nothing right. I felt there was no way that I could do because I'd be doing, I'd be working, I'd be trying. And it come to the place where God showed me, you know what? You're nothing but filthy rags. Keep failing and separate from the grace of God. But when I came to know the grace of Jesus Christ in my life, He began to bear fruit in my life. Titus 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. So here it's talking about the grace of God. It says, that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So here, this is what the grace of God teaches us. So you here that have received the grace of God, this is what it will be teaching you, if so be you are walking in Him. If so be you are tasting of His goodness. If so be you are tasting of the grace of God. It says it's appeared unto all men. This grace that bringeth salvation. This grace of God that bringeth salvation, it says it's appeared unto all men. It says it's teaching us the denying of ungodliness and worldly lust. So first it says it's teaching us the denying of ungodliness and worldly lust. So it's teaching us the denying of ungodliness. Ungodliness of what you're looking at with your eyes. Ungodliness of what you're placing in your mouth. Ungodliness of what you're putting in your ears. Ungodliness of what you're thinking, ungodliness of how you're living and what you're walking in and how you're conducting yourself. The grace of God teaches us the denying of those things. And then worldly lusts. It teaches us to deny those things. To where you're not running after those things. You're denying those things. And then it also teaches us that you should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. It says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So not only is it teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, it's teaching us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Then looking for the blessed and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. It finishes out the chapter here. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So here, who gave Himself for us. The reason why Jesus Christ gave Himself for us is that He might redeem us from all iniquity. This is the grace of God, which bringeth salvation that hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's right now, today. It's not in the future to come to say, you know what? I've been delivered from wrath through Him, so now we're going to live this life. All my sins are forgiven under the blood of Jesus Christ, and one day we'll be delivered from Him. But no, this is what He's talking about today. So you might be delivered in this present world. So you might live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So you might deny ungodliness and worldly lust in this present world. So that you could look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who gave Himself for you and I. That He might redeem you from all iniquity. That He might redeem me from all iniquity. And purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works. Are you denying ungodliness and worldly lust? Are you allowing the grace of Jesus Christ to work in your life and heart? Or are you like those in Romans 6 that says, well, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? This is not the grace of God. If you know the grace of God, this is what it will be teaching you. The denying of ungodliness and worldly lust. To live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You'll be looking forward, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from iniquity. So redeem us from iniquity, purifying to Himself a peculiar people, zealous of all good works. Are you zealous of all good works? Are you seeking the face of God? Are you desiring Him in your life? What are you looking at on your phone? What are you placing before your eyes? What music are you listening to? What people are you hanging around? What life are you presenting? If the world looked at you, would they see you as peculiar? Or would they see you as fitting in with them? If the ungodly were to look at you, would they be uncomfortable and concerned about where they're at? Or would they fit right in with you? Are you allowing the grace of God to work in your life? Are you experiencing the power of God in your life? And not turning the grace of God into lasciviousness? It'll speak later on that. Are you zealous of all good works? This is a very powerful thing of what the grace of God does in one's life. Let's go to Jude. In verse 1, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you, and exhort you that you should contend earnestly, or that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once was delivered unto the saints. So, Jude's here saying, beloved, when I wrote unto you about the common salvation, it says it was need for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which once was delivered unto the saints. So, are we contending for the faith? Jude said it's needful for me to remind you of this. It says here in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in and unawares. So they're coming in and they're beside us. Who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these are ones that creep in. They might creep in along your work site. They might creep in along your homes. They may creep in wherever you're at. They may creep in the church. And God says they're ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe to say, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The question there, that would be a lascivious question, of turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Turning to the grace of God and saying, you know what, we can just live our life however we want, and the grace of God will cover. Here again, but these people are going to the extent of denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're allowing sin in your life, if you're allowing that in your life, then you're choosing a different master. It says, ye are the servants to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So therefore we have sin unto death, which that's not grace, or we have obedience unto righteousness covered in the grace of God. The mercy of God was poured out upon us, and the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for all mankind. But those that partake of that come to Jesus Christ and find that. Jesus Christ shed His blood for you and I so that we could have life and life everlasting. But when we reject that, we reject the grace of God. When we reject that, we reject His salvation. What I'm saying that is for a life of an unbeliever. It says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. For the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath He reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have gone greedily after the arrow of Balaam for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Balaam was also a man that was called a prophet of the Lord, or he liked to think himself as one. He heard from God, yet he desired a reward. So here again, I'm looking at, it's talking about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I believe in this context, it's talking about also men. It's talking about ungodliness. It's talking about things that are unpleasing to God. It's talking about speaking evil of dignities. It's talking about sodomy. It's talking about fornication. It's talking about all sorts of things. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, they have gone greedily after the arrow of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars of whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their own mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration, because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there shall be mockers in the last times, who shall walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's stop there for a minute. I just want to talk about, it's talking about Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. He's reminding them. He says, mercy unto you and peace be multiplied. Then he reminds them of the common salvation. Then he says, contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith. So he's speaking to the saints, but then he's saying, be watchful. Beware for those that have crept in. Those that have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Then it talks about all these filthy works of darkness. These are things, he says, they separate themselves. They have not the Spirit of God. These are people that do not know God, that are walking in amongst. It says, but then it turns back to them after it speaks about all these things. And so I consider your life today, but as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that understand that you need to beware and contend for the faith. If you're found here in the things that are ungodly, then you need to turn to the grace of God. But it says here to the church here, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God. It says, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I can think, as we look out into this world, instead of joining ourselves with them, tell them about the grace of God. Tell them about how He's delivered you. Live a life separate from the world. But you, how about you pull them out of the fires? You hating the garment spotted by the flesh. It says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. This is a powerful thing that it talks about. It says, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. So Christ Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. It says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So He starts out reminding us, contend for the faith. Beware of those that have crept in unawares, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So today, who are you? Today, will you consider your life? The Bible says, he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It says, be in the world, but not of the world. When we conform ourselves to this world to win the world, we are not winning the world, but the world is winning us. When we choose to reject the grace of God and walk in sin, we're choosing destruction. I'd like to turn back to Titus and just end with that. Titus 2, verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I want to remind you of the grace of God. I want to remind you that God did send His Son to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He died while we were yet sinners. Yet, I want to encourage you that when Christ comes in, He does more than forgives. He empowers you. He gives you His life. It's no longer your life, it's His life. He says, ye are not your own. Talks about glorify God in your body. I think of the passage that says, if I can think of it, talks about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you become Christ, you become a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if I were to think of my life, if I were to think of the things, if you were to think of what you do throughout the day, if you were to think of what you do in the quiet times, if you were to think of what you do in the moments when you're alone, are you allowing the grace of God to teach you? Are you denying ungodliness and worldly lusts? Are you looking at things you ought not to on your phone? Are you looking at things you ought not to on your screens? Are you looking at things you ought not to on the streets? Are you putting things in your ears that bring you towards Christ or towards worldly lusts? Are you putting things in your ears that bring you towards Christ or towards ungodliness? What about things you place in your mouth? What about things you walk in? Are you walking with God? Are you walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? It teaches you that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, you should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Are you looking for the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ? He gave Himself that He might redeem us unto Him. Redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a people, peculiar people, zealous of all good works. So today I want to encourage you, both challenge you and encourage you. What is your life? Is it different from the world? Or are you conforming yourself to the world? You know, you can look, you can dress different from the world and put things in your eyes and in your ears that are of the world, that are ungodly. But you can dress like the world too. Are you turning the grace of God into lasciviousness? Are you accepting a grace that doesn't deliver you? Or are you accepting the grace of God that teaches you along the way? I pray this would be an encouragement to you. I pray this would be a challenge to you, because we live in a day and age where we don't want anything to do with God. We want to be most. We want to look closest to those next to us so that we don't look odd. But you ought to be peculiar. You ought to be zealous of all good works. Jesus Christ died to redeem you from these things. He bled and died. If it wasn't a serious thing, you think if it was just grace, just mercy, just that He would, you know, just forgive you, I think He could have just forgiven you, but there had to be a place where blood had to be shed. Christ had to come and die. And in order for you and I to be able to stand before a holy God, we had to be placed in Jesus Christ. Do you think that we could stand before a holy God and reject Christ in us? Do we think that we could stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and be rejecting His grace and not be receiving the love of the truth? Is this life of Christ Jesus a life for you? He laid His life down for you to place you in Him. What about these people that are spoken about in Jude? Are you living a life that you could tell them about the love of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the life of Him in you that says, you know what? I'm going after righteousness. I have to. I'm sorry. You've asked me to attend this thing, but you know what? I can't. Because I'm not my own anymore. I'm Christ. What about the things that come out of our mouths? Are they ungodly? Are they of the world? Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Live a life for God, zealous of good works. And look forward to the coming day of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day when He's coming back to take those that know Him to be with Him. But He's called us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, right now, today. So I encourage you, it's good to be sober. It's good to consider where we're at today. It's good to seek the face of God. It's good to tell others about Jesus Christ. Are you concerned about yourself and about how you look and about how people will think about you? Or are you concerned about the name of Jesus Christ? Don't grieve the Holy Spirit with your life. Seek Him with everything that you have. Are you concerned about the lost that are dying, separate from God, perishing, because we're not willing to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? So today, seek Him. Follow Him. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust in every area of your life. Live soberly, righteously, and godly right now in this present world. Look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The one who gave Himself for you and I. To redeem you and I from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of all good works. Remember why Jesus Christ died for you. Remember the grace of God that was poured out for you on the cross of Calvary. And don't tread it over. In Hebrews 10, you know, I was going to stop there, but I just want to. It's a sobering reminder for me here. It says Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. It says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fire, indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who had trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he hath sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Don't tread the blood of Jesus Christ under when he died to redeem you from all iniquity. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. But it's a marvelous thing to trust in the grace of the living God and to have a confidence in Him because He has chosen you. He's delivered you from the bondage of the chains of darkness. He's chosen you to be a child of God, a peculiar people zealous of all good works. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know that, God, I can't speak like Father, oftentimes I think would be clearer, but Lord, I just pray that you take the words, Father, not my words, but the words that you have written in your book, and use it to encourage, use it to challenge, Father. Father, that we could all come into the unity of the faith, that we could walk with you in righteousness and holiness. Father, that we not tread over the blood of Christ, that we not grieve the Holy Spirit, but Father, that we would live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That we deny ungodliness and worldly lust. that we would be a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. A people that would love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may we allow this grace to teach us. Father, I know that there's so much more to be talked about grace. And it's an amazing thing, Father, of what You've done for us. Father, we accept the grace in our lives today. And God, I want to accept the teaching of it in my life. So that, Father, I could live a life for You. I'm thankful for the blood shed on Calvary and that, Father, the grace of God came for me. To deliver me, Father, a filthy and vile thing before a holy God and chose to make me righteous in You. Father, may I walk with You today. And may these people here, Lord God, walk with You. Thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness to us. I pray that You'd guide. I pray that, Father, You'd be with Brother Roy, Lord God, as he presents Your Word, Lord God, this evening. Father, empower him with the Spirit of God. And Lord God, may I have a ready ear, Lord God, to hear what You have for me. And Father, the rest here, Father, that they would have their minds stayed on You, Lord God, and be ready to receive, Lord God, what You have. We're thankful for Your goodness, Lord God, and that it endureth forever. We praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen.